Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And there's a pop-up. And there's Travis.
Yes.
And that'll do it. The Red Sox are just shy of 4 hours win.
This one tonight, they ran away 11-4. Benintendi had the night of nights.
Another day, another win for the Red Sox. That's the way it's going right now. Another day, another win. You see how this is happening, too, by the way, over the last several days? You guys catching a wind of this, Murray, how it's working? Like one day it's Mookie Betts, who has 8 RBI. The next night it's Pedroia, who knocked in, what, 4 that night and made a couple of ridiculous plays in the field. Last night, Benintendi gets, what, 5 RBI?
Yeah.
It's just like every day it's a different guy. Every day it's like a this is your life. Whoever it is, the one player just takes the game over.
Hanley hitting 400.
Yeah, Hanley's been hitting too, Jimmy. That's a good point. I'm going to treat it like a re-entry Monday here on the Baseball Reporters as well. Let's open up the phone. 617-779-0985. Jared Carabas, Barstool Sports, is with us tonight. He's usually with us on Tuesday, but that was a holiday. So Carabas gets bouncing today, and it's a good thing because we have plenty to talk about. We'll tell you quickly up front, the Baseball Reporters is brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, supplying contractors and homeowners with residential and commercial building materials since 1946. You can check them out at jacksonlumber.com. One more time, 617-779-0985. All things Red Sox over the course of the next hour. So here's where I'm starting with you, Carabas.
Yeah.
And we have a lot to get to. Okay, David Price and Dennis Eckersley going at it on a plane verbally. Verbal altercation. Dave Dombrowski attacking Barstool Sports last week. Mm. You in particular, questioning your credibility. I want to know if you're going to sit there and take it or you're going to fight back like a man, Jared.
I already did. You didn't see my blog post? I thought you retweeted it. You like that.
That's what I
question his credibility. Look at Travis Shaw and what he's doing. How's your credibility, Dave?
I did kind of like it, actually. Yeah. It was a nice, wise-ass reply.
Yeah, that's me.
He cut Alan Craig on you.
Yeah, that was a low blow.
So let me start with a big picture question, and Jimmy Stewart, our producer, and Jim Murray, I'd like both of your inputs as well begin the week here, right in the middle. Red Sox are now up, what, 4.5?
4.5, yeah.
Yankees lost today. They blew it late.
Yep, correct.
4.5. Is it 5 in the loss, Colin Murray? Could you just check that? I didn't really even look at that particular thing yet. It's a holiday weekend. Forget it. You start drinking, you start eating, and you're just completely in a different world. So the Red Sox have completely taken the division now by the throat. Would you agree with that?
Not necessarily.
Why not?
I mean, the Red Sox were 4 games out 3 weeks ago.
Okay. So do you think... So here's my question to you. And again, I want you all to weigh in.
It obviously takes a colossal slide to get to that point. I don't think that the Red Sox could slide as poorly as the Yankees just have.
Okay. So here is my question. Have they seen second place for the last time? In other words, is anybody going to overtake the Red Sox now, or are they there to stay? In your mind, are they there to stay in the American League East at the top of the division?
Yes. Would you like me to expand on that?
Sure.
Yeah, I just don't think
Just keep it tight so we can get the other two in, too.
Yeah, I just think that we've seen the peak of the Yankees, and I don't think that the Rays have it in them. I think that Toronto's not good enough, and Baltimore has been poor pretty much since the end of April.
Murray?
Yeah, I'm with Jared on this, and I think the pitching problems are going to continue for New York.
Jimmy Stewart?
No. Because I think that the Yankees have assets, as the basketball people would like to say, where they can go out and get the best available starting pitcher on the market.
So you think the Red Sox are actually going to slip back into second place at some point?
I could see it happening, yes.
Okay, here's what I'm going to tell you. I don't think they're going back to second. Doesn't mean the Yankees won't make a run. The Yankees will. They're going to make a run. The Yankees will make a run at some point. They'll get help at the deadline. They're going to play better than they've played because they're a better team than that. They're not as good as they played in the first half, but they will be in it at the end of the year. The Yankees will be in it. But I don't think anybody's going to overtake the Red Sox in this division because it feels to me like they're starting to come together. And I know this is difficult for me to say because typically I like to poke holes in the Red Sox like nobody in this town will. Believe me when I tell you. I like to find every possible flaw in that team, and they still have some. But right now, Jared, I can't remember them having a week like this in a long time.
It's been a while.
I know they kicked the crap out of, like, Oakland last year. Remember they had that stretch in May where they scored, like, 14 runs for 3 straight games or something?
It was at Fenway, yeah.
This is different. This is different, the way this is going on. To me, this is all borderline systematic what's going on with them. Right now, they're getting good starting pitching. Okay? In the last, I did a little research today, believe it or not. The last 9 games. 2.54 ERA for the team. But most of that is the starters, and they've had two good outings from David Price in there. In the six-game winning streak, Price has started the first game in, the most recent one.
Yep.
Right? The games are all running together. Price has started two of those. 8-1, 2.2.
From the top.
2.1.
2.54 ERA, 93 strikeouts in 85 innings, only 24 walks. Okay? The lineup overall, last nine games, 67 runs. They've outscored their opponents 67-25. Jared's got a little doohickey grown out of his pants right now there, Murray, because he's big on the run differential. As
huge.
You know. So they are plus 42 in run differential in the last nine games. They are batting .324 as a team with an .899 OPS. And then you get into the particulars. Price is throwing the ball well. Do you know that Zhu Weilin in the last five games is hitting .421 with an OPS over 1,100?
The Tsunami.
That's what you've named him. I saw that on Twitter. That's cute. Clever. Hanley Ramirez, last six games, is hitting .400, six extra base hits, and OPS over 1,100. What are they not doing right now?
I mean, you could say, if you really want to nitpick, Craig Kimbrell blew a save.
Okay, but
no one's worried about Kimbrell, though.
Okay, so this, and I'm not joking, it's the best I've seen them play all year in this stretch. They've done it on the road, and I know Toronto's not having a great year, but the Jays aren't terrible.
Yeah.
And the Red Sox historically have always had problems in Texas. Always.
So has David Price. ERA was almost 8 in Texas.
So I look at it and I say, this stretch, and I don't know how much longer it's going to go on. I'd like to see them carry it out the rest of the week here, go right into the All-Star break. You know, what do they have, 5 games left, counting tonight? If you can take 3 or 4 of those, you are in great shape. You come back, recharge everybody's batteries, here you go. But this run, this is the run that makes it different. And so, like, for all the people that were giving me grief early in the year about what's, you know, I'm being too hard on the Red Sox. It's a long season. It's a marathon, not a sprint. All of this changed in literally 5 or 6 days. It's the 5 or 6 game winning streak that has changed everything. And more importantly, it's how they've played in the 5 or 6 games.
I'm surprised at you, Maz. You usually don't overreact to small samples.
It's not necessarily the wins. It's the way they've played.
They have a whole second half of the season. I'm turning into you now. Okay. And you're turning into me. Keep it in your pants, Maz. It's 6 games. I'm excited about it, too. But there's a whole second half of the season to go.
So this is I always go by how they look more than I do the wins and losses. To me, how they look is far more important.
Yeah, and you also have to look at the competition, which is not impressive.
Okay, but even so.
Yeah, I know. Look, I get where he's coming from. And Texas is a sub-500 team this year. They're not all of that good, but that place has notoriously been a snake pit for them, no matter when.
Oh, no, listen, they're playing well right now. They're playing well all the way around. How about that rally over the weekend? 2 bunt singles. Murray, how old are you? You're almost 40 now, right?
Just turned 40.
Okay. You're 40 years old. In your lifetime, do you ever remember the Red Sox hitting 2 bunt singles in a row?
No, I do
ever?
Not.
Ever? I got grandparents who were in the ground, and they never saw it. Believe me when I tell you. The Red Sox hitting 2 bunt singles in a row does not happen. It does not happen. I see things like that, and I start to look at them and say, I don't even know you anymore. That's what I do. I look at the Red Sox. That's what it feels like. I want to squeeze in Eric quickly in Plymouth. Eric, go.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
So with the great game that Benintendi had, I think David Price's start is kind of getting left behind a little bit, overlooked, I should say. 9 strikeouts in 6 innings. I mean, and you know, Texas is not playing that great, but that's a legit lineup, and that's a ballpark where the ball could fly out of. I mean, I think that's a really good sign for Price, and if him and Sale can, you know, be true ace pitchers like they can be, like you said, Maz, this team is not going to give up the number one seed. They're going to be first in the AL East.
Okay, so Price is a key guy, and I want to talk to Jared about Price because obviously he had the altercation with Dennis Eckersley. And also, Nick Cafardo of the Globe asked an interesting question over the weekend that I think of it, I meant to ask you about. Why isn't this team more appealing and compelling for people? Why aren't people really buying in on the Red Sox? And I have Nick quoted me in the story he wrote over the weekend in the Sunday Globe. I have an opinion on it. I would like a fan's opinion on it as to why. What is it about this Red Sox that has prevented you from totally embracing them? And maybe this last week pushed them over the edge. Maybe that was the week that did it.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter's Tony Maserata show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And a base hit into right field. Here comes Hanley Ramirez. Xander Bogaerts lacing a single to put the Red Sox in front at last, 5-4. And the 0-2, he strikes him out again, 97 miles an hour. And that's his 10th.
I mean, you say we had a rocky road and we're in first place, so it's going to be fun when we get going.
He's bunting, pushes it toward first base. How about
great
this?
Bunt.
Gonna let it roll, and it's a base hit. Back-to-back bunt singles.
Oh.
And that one tagged left center field. Way, way back, sailing. God! 8 RBIs for Mookie Betts. What can't he do?
Oh, that's incredible.
Skip back up on a drive back to first base to tag. And
he got him!
He got him! Heck, that was a barehanded pick by Pedroia.
That's incredible.
There's a shot. Drill to right. Back it goes. And kiss it goodbye. What a night he's having. Benintendi with a 3-run shot.
Hello.
I think we're just, you know, starting to click a little bit. Everything's working, knock on wood, but just trying to, you know, do our role and, you know, do the little things right and help team win.
Six in a row for the Red Sox overall, last five on the road. It's a good road trip, hell of a road trip so far. They've won all five, 8 out of 9, open up a 4.5 game lead now in the American League, and then go to 5 with a win tonight. Again, we'll take your call, 617-779-0985. Hard for me to bitch about what the Red Sox did over the weekend. It was a wide variety of games. I mean, a lot of blowouts in there. They're just mashing the ball now. They have 11 home runs, I think, in their last 9 games, I think it is, which for them is a huge step up because they were averaging, obviously, under a homer per game for the majority of the season. So they're starting to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And to me, Jared, what is a big variable now is Price. David Price. He was good again. This is now 3 good outings in a row, 3 solid, reliable outings.
It's really just one bad one, if you break it down that way.
The Yankee game.
That's it.
Yeah.
If you look at it, he's made 8 starts now. If I were to say, guess what his ERA is without that Yankee game, what do you think it is?
3.5.
Less. It's 3.21.
Okay. So, but now let me ask you this question. Do you think that all the other ones were equal?
I mean, some have been better than others.
I mean, what's he walked? 3 guys in the last 3 games? What were the walks before that?
Well, yes, the walks in his last 3 starts. I mean, I think he walked 2 in his most recent, but he didn't walk any in the one before that, and there was like 1 in three prior. So, I mean, it's definitely trending to a more positive region, and he's also not giving up the home runs. There was, I think, his first like 6 starts, he gave up a home run in all of them. So, it's, you know, you've definitely, location was the big thing. Velocity was never an issue with him. It was about location. He was walking guys and he was giving up home runs. He stopped doing that.
So to me, that's the big thing, is the walks have gone down. He's not putting guys on base now. He's keeping the ball in the ballpark. Big difference. I think he's been way better the last 2 or 3 starts in particular. I think he's been terrific. And honestly, I think he's thrown the ball better maybe at any point than at any point last year. The life on the ball to me is different. It's different. He's throwing the ball better than he did a year ago, and I don't know. Maybe he was hurt last year.
But did you see that stat that I had about the velocity from 2 starts ago?
No.
His average velocity 2 starts ago was the fastest that it's ever been in any start that he's had with the Red Sox.
Okay, so that validates it then.
Yes.
That there's no question to me the ball's coming out of there more with more life than it ever did before, at least in his time in Boston. And I look at it further and I say, I don't know, maybe the time off. Maybe he was hurt last year. Maybe there was an issue with the arm last year. That whole thing with his hands and the delivery and the leg kick, and it was all garbage.
Yeah.
The reality is he wasn't right. They gave him the time off. He healed up, and maybe he's okay now. I don't know. I'm still holding my breath because of the elbow. But he did have the altercation with Dennis Eckersley on the plane, and this was on the flight to Toronto from Minnesota. And in the final game of that homestand, Eckersley had made a comment, I think, about Eduardo Rodriguez's rehab outing, which was all, you know, seemingly harmless in nature. Apparently, Price confronted him about the comment, in which Eck basically said, yuck. Yuck. Like, boy, Rodriguez, you know, sucked.
Yuck.
There you go. He really stunk in the game. They had it out, then Price goes out and pitches well again. So my question to you is, do you think Price's venting is affecting his pitching, and I mean that in a positive way. Is he now pitching more aggressively with more abandon? You know, maybe not as, you know, not overthinking it as much. Is this all connected in some way?
I don't think so, no, because...
See, I do.
Well, the blow-up with Drelic was the start before he got lit up in Yankee Stadium. So, you know, he goes up and, you know, tears Drelic a new one in the clubhouse, and then he gets lit up in Yankee Stadium. And, you know, he had been pitching better before the Eck incident. So I think he's just trending in a positive... So that's the other thing, too, that, you know, the timing of it. It's... When he blew up on Drelic, that was after a start in Baltimore, which was probably his best start this year, maybe. So it's just the timing of these media blow-ups has always been curious because, you know, we were starting to feel good about David Price, and then he blows up on someone. It's like, oh, we're turning back to a negative narrative here with David Price. But I don't really think that there's a connection because, like you said, he's been pitching well over his last three starts, which would, you know, be before the Eck incident.
I just think he needs to care less about how people look at him. And the fact that he's...
That's never going to happen.
Okay, but the fact that he's confronting people in the media, even if it's just the media, which is shooting fish in a barrel, right? The players always get pissed off at the media. They always have. It's the easiest target. Whenever something goes wrong, you go off on the media because you're not going to go off on your own teammate. You redirect your anger. And so, but at least it's coming out.
But both incidents have not had to do directly with him.
Right. So that's okay. Again, misdirecting your anger, but at least it's coming out.
Right, but I'm just saying that, you know... I think that too many fans are looking at the incident with Drelic, the incident with Eckersley, and saying David Price is super sensitive, which he is sensitive, but they're looking at these outbursts as David Price is flipping out because of criticism on him or something that was said about him. In both instances, it wasn't really about him. It was about other people that he was trying to protect.
Right. In neither case it was, but I'm just telling you the fact that he's speaking up is a good sign, even if it's terribly misguided. And you want to call him a baby, a wuss, all of that, like losing his mind and attacking the media all the time? Fine. Go ahead. What I will tell you is that, to me, it's a departure from his previous behavior. He felt like the guy in a guy to me that was always trying to keep everybody happy.
He did this in Detroit. You don't remember that?
I don't.
He blew up on a Detroit writer for, I think Brad Ausmus came out to take him out of a game, and it looked like he didn't give Ausmus the ball. The cameras were messed up. Like, it was something that looked off. And the writer criticized Price for looking like he was showing up as manager. That wasn't the case. And then Price went at the writer on Twitter, like in a public forum. This wasn't behind closed doors. Like,
okay, but
he ripped him a new one.
That's different to me. It's different. Confronting someone face to face is different.
I guess, but it's still attacking someone in the media for something that he didn't like.
Yeah, I still think he's getting more assertive. And this part I like. This part I like. I hate the reason for it, but I like the fact that he's getting more assertive. I have a big picture question on the Red Sox, too, that I want to ask everybody. But first, we'll take a couple of more calls. CJ in Boston wants to talk about the third base situation. Go.
Hi. Hello?
CJ, what do you got?
Hey, so I was just wondering, I was checking out possibilities for third base from teams that are struggling, may want to blow up the roster or something, and I was looking at Eduardo Nunez in San Francisco, and it seemed like the guy...
Okay, CJ, I'm going to let you go because the connection sucks.
Not very good.
Jared, where do you think they put third base on the list of priorities right now?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say not very high, but it should be still the bullpen. We talked about this before. It should be, even when it looked like the third base was supposed to be the top priority, it never was. It was always the bullpen because, yes, Craig Kimbrell's been awesome. Yes, Joe Kelly's having a career year as a reliever, but Kelly can't pitch on back-to-back days. And how are you going to feel with Joe Kelly on the mound in a postseason game? Like, as a Red Sox fan, how do you feel about that?
Okay. So listen, I'm with you on the bullpen, but sticking to third base just for a second. Is there anything sustainable there with Zhuwei Lin?
Well, offensively, he's an unknown. He's a virtual unknown.
Okay, but the way he's played so far, and I'm not saying he's going to hit 400.
No.
Okay, he's hitting 421.
What's not to like?
In the last five games, he's 8-for-19 with two triples. But the question is, do you think it's sustainable? Do you think he could be at least part of the solution? And when I say part of the solution, as a left-handed batter, he's going to play 70% of the time. Do you think they can get something out of him to get a contribution there with him? Or do you think they need to look outside?
I think that if you have some sort of platoon with Marrero and Lynn, then you're fine. And it's okay to be fine. You don't have to have an all-star at every position. I would much rather, if you have assets that are tradable, that it doesn't hurt to give those away, use those on a reliever.
See, I feel like you do at third base. This Lynn kid, I don't know what he's going to hit. He might not hit anything. He might, the bat might turn to spaghetti for all I know.
And it probably will at some point.
But I like the fact that, you know, he puts the bat on the ball. He can run. He plays defense. At the very least, you have a functional player there. And I do like that. I think that he has added something to the team a little bit. Quickly, my buddy Angelo Methuen. What do you got, Angelo?
Anthony, yeah. Your two boys had a great game, Benintendi and Betts, right? Now, last year, when Bradley was on that 29-game hitting streak, he knocked in 13 RBIs in two games. They could have mentioned that. It was only like 5 or 6 years
okay,
ago.
Okay, so Angelo, listen, I love you to death, but you got to get over this thing about Jackie Bradley being persecuted all the time.
I'm not saying he's getting persecuted, but 13 RBIs in two games, that's quite a feat. Plus the one game he did it in, he had 6 extra base hits.
Okay, so look, Bradley's giving him a lot right now. He's on the list, too. It's just the last 3 days, some of these other guys have had otherworldly games. Betts knocked it in 8. Pedroia, the play Pedroia made at first base to get that out with Carlos Gomez.
You want a hot take right now?
Go.
Better than any play I've ever seen Derek Jeter make, ever.
So I'm glad you brought up Jeter, because I said this to Jimmy before the show. Maybe it was Murray. Jimmy, do you remember I said that? It was a Jeter-esque play. That's what it was.
You're right, Maz.
And it has nothing to do with the athleticism or anything else. See, I've trained Jared well. He knows where my mind is going. But that's a play a winning player makes. First of all, he's backing up the play, and then he sees the opportunity to get an out. That's like the play where Jeter cut the ball off on the first baseline and flipped the ball to the plate to get one of the Giambi brothers. I don't remember which one in the playoffs.
Jeremy. He was safe.
The idiot should have slid. It was his fault. But the whole part of that play with Jeter was reading it. It was reading the play. It wasn't executing it physically. And Pedroia did the same thing the other night. If people haven't seen this play, it was the bottom of the ninth, right? Was that the ninth or the tenth?
It was the ninth inning. Yeah, Kimbrel was pitching.
So Gomez led off with a dribbler down the third baseline. The ball got overthrown. Google it. You wanted to look at a winning play in baseball, that's the one. When we come back, I want to ask a big picture question about the Red Sox and why TV ratings are down 20%. My partner and I argued about this on the afternoon show. I want Carrabba's to settle the dispute.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back here on the Baseball Reporters, Jared Carrabba's alongside. Normally every Tuesday here on the program, but because of the holiday, we bumped him to Wednesday night, and a good time to do it. Red Sox are obviously playing well. 6 in a row, 8 out of 9. They've opened up a 4.5 game lead in the American League East. So here's a question, as it was put by Nick Cafardo in the Boston Globe over the weekend, and we do have a couple open lines, 617-779-0985 right now on all things Major League Baseball. But Cafardo asked a question, or pointed out, attendance is actually up a little bit, I guess, relative to last year, Jared, but television ratings are down. Why? And for, you know, before we even get to that, do you feel like I do, and maybe you're the wrong person to ask, because you're so immersed in it. I mean, like, you know, you are literally tweeting, blogging every game.
Right.
So that's, I mean, it just consumes your life. I know from experience.
Correct.
You have a hard time knowing that anything else is even going on.
Yep.
But do you feel the same kind of buzz with this Red Sox team that maybe you have felt in other years?
No, I don't.
Okay, so why not?
So when you referenced the ratings, the Nesson ratings being down 20%, I want to know what they're up or down from 2015. Because what was the Ortiz final season factor? If you can remove the Ortiz final season factor, like how much off are we from 2015? So I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I'd be interested to know. But the buzz, I mean, when is the last time there's really been a legit buzz? You know, there's been 2013, there was a buzz developing. I mean, by this point, there was really no buzz for 2013. If you were to go back to July 5th, 2013, I think that it was a team that people enjoyed watching, but it wasn't like I am going to stay on a Friday night to watch the Red Sox versus go out to the bar if that's an option type team. We haven't had a team like that probably since 2004, even the 2007 team. I mean, great team. Even 2008, another great team. In terms of buzz, when have you really, you know, that hasn't been there since what, 2003, 2004?
Okay, so you're never going to get that again. Right?
I know. The chase is gone, so is this buzz that we speak of.
Okay, so I can't remember. I think it was 07 or 08, but I think it was 07 where their TV ratings were actually the highest they've ever had.
It was 07, yeah.
Okay, they averaged a 12, I think, that year, which is insane. If you think about it now, they're doing half the audience that they were 10 years ago, right? Incredible. But the ratings are actually double, basically double what they are now 10 years ago. So... See, and I don't even think 2015 is a good comparison because they were out of it by then. I mean, they were out of it going into late in the year. In August and September of that year, the interest level picked up. Believe me, and I tell you, I know it. I sat here, and the ratings that we had in August and September of 2015 were good.
Who's the more fair comparison, 2011? That was the last time that they were good this time of year.
Ooh, maybe. Maybe. Maybe that's the best one. I just, see, I think there's an identity problem on this team. And I don't know, maybe I'm full of it. You know, I know Murray thinks it's a lot of factors. I don't think it's one thing. I think it's a number of factors. But I think there's an identity problem. And this isn't just about Ortiz's bat, or he was the face of the franchise. And I talked to Sam Kennedy about it before the season started, and he said he was surprised more people weren't talking about it. And in retrospect, I think he's right. It should have been more of a topic than it was. Who do you identify with on this team? Like, who do fans look at and say, boy, this is the guy that leads them. This is the guy. It's not Pedroia. I mean, I love Pedroia. We all love Pedroia, but he's not that kind of guy. And his personality isn't, you know, he's not a big personality, at least publicly. In the clubhouse, maybe. I mean, again, I've seen him in action there, and he's got a good personality. But publicly, he doesn't play that way to the fans. Ortiz did. And so Sale gets some of it, but he's a pitcher and he's been here 2.5 months. Three. Price, not really. The young guys, I've never seen any of them mad. I've never seen Bradley mad. I've never seen Bogarts mad. I've never really seen Betts mad to the point where they, you know, they get pissed off and charge a mound, or I never see any of that. It just feels, again, in terms of there's no personality to it. And I don't know, maybe this shouldn't be an issue, but to me it is.
I mean, are they boring? Yeah, they're a little boring, but are they good? Yes, they're good. So, I don't know, if you're a casual fan, what draws you to a baseball team? Because for me, I'm going to watch every single game regardless, and if they suck, then it's just I have something to complain about. If they're good, I have something to be excited about. But what draws in the casual in the middle fan that needs something extra to watch that team? Because I mean, if the answer is not just David Ortiz, what is the answer? Because I don't, like, what do you need someone on this team to do in order for them to be exciting enough to watch? Because if you look at Mookie Betts, I mean, he was drawing comparisons to Ted Williams last year in terms of, I think it was it the first guy to 30 and 100 before the age of 24?
So again, but you're talking about the numbers. I'm talking about the personality, the sheer force of a personality.
But who has personality in Major League Baseball right now?
Bryce Harper.
Okay, so you need what? A guy to charge the mound and say that it's a clown question to the media? Like, what does he do that's different from anyone
okay,
else?
Okay, so Felger asked me the same question, and honestly, I don't care about the rest of Major League Baseball. I care about only as it pertains to Boston.
But I'm just saying, like, what is he doing that you need someone on the Red Sox to do? Have personality?
I need somebody to be real. Sale is real to me, but he hasn't been here long enough.
So it's a Red Sox problem then, because
it is a Red Sox problem. This is what I'm getting at.
The team trains them to be boring. Instead of creating the days of the guys like David Ortiz who have this huge booming personality that transcends the sport, those days are gone, and it's the team's fault because they train them as minor leaguers coming through the system how to give boring answers and how to just be boring like that. They train them to be boring.
I know. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I need more personality from the team. And look, I will say too that in the last week, it's been better. And again, it translates to the play on the field. I get that. They've been fun to watch in the last 5 or 6 days. They've been fun to watch.
How do you feel about the dances after the games?
I hate them.
So you want more personality, but you hate when they dance after the games.
Okay, but that's like happy horse crap. I want, you know, I need some edge there. It doesn't feel like there's an edge to me on this team. Now, there is with Sale, But Murray, do you follow me on this at all? Who's got edge on this team? Pedroia does,
and right now Price does. The way that he's pitching.
Okay, but again,
I like the dancing though. I mean,
if, I hate it.
I'm not just looking
it.
For edge. I like personality, and you get it with the that outfield.
Oh, Mookie has a little edge that you're talking about. There was that game I think in Milwaukee where he either hit a tying or go ahead home run in Milwaukee against the Brewers. And as he was rounding first base, he was kind of screaming a little bit, and you know he was getting amped up. Same thing with Hanley. Like, what about Hanley? We haven't mentioned him at all. I mean, he definitely is a character. Is one of those guys that will give quotes that aren't boring, and when he's amped up, you know it. So I don't know, but I feel like if Hanley has this awkward relationship with the media where they just look at him as this baby that has no brain. He's a smart dude. I still think that Hanley, you know, plays the media like a fiddle because they think that he's dumb and they think that he can't think for himself and they think that, you know, he's checked out, but he's not. I mean, I think that Hanley cares. He just chooses when to care, and that's the most frustrating part. But, you know, if you're looking for a character that shows some passion on the field, I think Hanley is a decent option.
I just wish they had more guys like Sale. I wish they had more guys like Sale. I find Sale compelling, A, when he's on the mound, and B, every time he opens his mouth. It feels to me like Sale's always got something good to say. I mean, just a comment, you know, over the weekend. The game in Toronto on Saturday, and people ask him about it, you know, the team hasn't played great. And he says, well, you know, I don't get this. You guys say we haven't played great. We're in first place. You know, we're playing like, I'd hate to see us when we get rolling. And now they're rolling. Now it feels to me like they're starting to fulfill some of the potential, and maybe a little bit more, maybe they'll get a little swagger. Maybe that's what it is. Look, I'm having a hard time articulating it because I don't know that it's anything necessarily tangible I can put my hands on.
Well, because the same thing happened last year. You know, they ended up winning the division, but they didn't get hot until, what, mid-September? So they had a very small window of time where they win, like 12 out of 13 games, like 11 straight, something like that. And that's when everyone's like, wow, this team's actually exciting. And then, you know, they clinch, and then it just all goes downhill from there. And it was just this really small window where you're like, oh, I'm invested in this team. Oh, wait, they're gone now. That's it.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.